Hey guys, welcome to the MC Anime Podcast.
We cover anime, geek culture, Japanese aesthetics, and Asian studies. We are a multi-fandom podcast, and you can expect to hear topics in your favorite hobby or fandom activity potentially. You can find MC Anime on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. Also, please check out mcanimepodcast.com, our website. Furthermore, stay tuned in for another episode.
Hey guys, MC back from MC Anime Podcast. Leslie is back with us today. How you doing, Leslie?
I'm doing all right. It's been a while. I missed you, man. I'm glad to be doing this episode with you.
Yeah, let's be a nice episode. Introduce yourself to those who don't know you or might not even know your face.
Well, hopefully they don't want to know my face because not anything to look at, but I am Les. I host the Lesson Made podcast, which you are a always recurring guest on, and I do some photography and yeah, it's really all I'm really about these days.
True. But yeah, today we're going to be doing an interesting segment of the changing of leaves of Studio Ghibli.
So Studio Ghibli movies are pretty good.
Yeah. So we're going to be exploring the changing of leaves through the fall autumn season. We have four movies picked out that invoke different implications of fall and different versions of how the movies as a case study represent fall, all directly tied to fall. But we're going to use loose imagery, the scenes they put out, the different invocations of how the movie is made to suggest a fall setting or a fall theme. The four movies we're going to discuss is Howl's Moving Castle, My Neighbor Totoro,
yeah,
Spirited Away, and Only Yesterday. So each one will have its different implications of fall and how it will represent the changing of leaves in Studio Ghibli. Let's start with Howl's Moving Castle. What do you like about Howl's Moving Castle that would fit within the fall theme?
I mean, you know, it kind of like, especially in the movie, things start falling apart towards the end, and it's kind of like the fall of the how it is moving castle and whatnot. Things are falling apart as the movie progressed. So I guess you could say that it was fall during fall. No, and it did get a little the whole vibe of the movie was changing towards the end. Instead of it being bright and, you know, green and happy-go-lucky, it started to get a little grim, you know?
True. Well, Howl's Moving Castle is interesting for invoking of fall. It kind of does its own thing in the course description, but it also invokes it very deeply in imagery. It tells the story with vibrant colors. It's vivid, but it also has a lot of imagery to a little bit of imagery to dull setting, which is fall. The bright colors slowly dying, all the getting ready for winter kind of thing. Works out really well.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
I'm working on trying to hear you better. I just couldn't hear you the best, so I'm trying to maybe repeat what you're saying a little bit. I can...
Basically, the invocation of imagery from vivid to dull settings in the latest sections of months of a fall season.
Yeah, I mean, it's... Like you said, we're talking about fall and, like, the changing of leaves, quote-unquote, but it's more of, like, the changing of scenery or the tone of the movie. Like, at the beginning of Howl's Moving Castle, they're looking for Howl, and they find him, and it's, like, the queen. Everything's, like, springtime. Things are brightened up. There's flowers and all that stuff. And then they go and meet with the queen because they want him to help with whatever, and... You know, his whole story, and, you know, so it's like green and vibrant and things look alive, and then there's a war going on that he has to be part of or whatever, and so the war starts happening and there's starting to be death, and so the movie starts turning from being a vibrant thing into more of a you know, just dull and like depressing, you know, and that's kind of like how fall is. I mean, there's a lot more that goes on in the movie. There's more plots and stuff, but as what we're referring to, that's kind of like what it means. Is the war's going on, destruction's happening and it starts being a little like dull and not as like vibrant, and you just the energy and the vibes in the movie is changing.
Well, true. And the, you know, the different themes is like the change. So it's physical and emotional. We see the physical changes as age happens.
Yes.
But we also see more emotion in the beginning, but then emotion dialed back as much. Well, no, it's the emotion less in the beginning and then more emotion at the end.
True.
The representation of how fall usually works. There's so much green from summer that it slowly dials back and becomes less.
Yes.
You see the emotion. You see the leaves changing. You actually see the passage of time getting ready for winter, dying down, that type of stuff.
Yes.
But also with that movie specifically, melancholy and warmth. Because you have that warm feeling, you have that slow, cold feeling happening in fall. Howl's Moving Castle is symbolic of that fall feeling. For the simple fact the temperature is dying down, there's less warmth out there. The daylight is actually shortening to have more nighttime hours instead of daytime hours, that type of stuff.
Yeah.
So when you really get into the nitty gritty of what fall is, you see less of something else, less sunshine, less leaves on the trees, less people outside enjoying the weather. It's cold, more people inside, that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And Owl's Moving Castle is very representative of that, because as his castle is moving, the castle doesn't move as much anymore. He's at one location and he starts aging. He starts being inside more. He's insecure how he feels. He doesn't want to go out.
Yeah, his emotions start showing.
Mm-hmm. He starts seeing the mood changing and that melancholy feeling being like so high that you don't want to do anything.
Yeah, I mean, you're right on how you describe it. And he starts, and I guess as he's feeling, as Hal's starting to feel maybe more emotional, but like less wanting to like go out in society and everything, he, you know, it's the castle part. Even Calcifer, his living fireplace is almost goes out too. So, I mean, as you're saying, it's getting colder and, you know, it, like you said, it, everything was happy, bright in the beginning, and then as it goes on, you know, he... I don't want to give up much of the movie, but the character they follow...
Makes
a choice that he wasn't expecting or didn't like, and it hurt his feelings, basically.
And a quote to say about it is, a heart's a heavy burden.
Yes.
So it's a line that pairs well with the weighty beauty of fall. So the heart is a burden. Too much heart is too much. Too little heart is not enough. So fall has both of that, and that's why Howl's Moving Castle is on this list. It invokes the warm, the dull, the cold, and the warmth, and the sad moments with the high moments. All mixed together. And the contrast of war and peace as well, diving in with fall.
Yes.
So anything else you want to say about Howl's Moving Castle before we move on to the next one?
Yeah, man, they shouldn't mess with Calcifer, man. He was awesome, and they tried to almost make him die. I like Calcifer. He was adorable.
So you know what? So let me get this straight. You died inside when Calcifer was no longer there.
Yeah, Calcifer was adorable, okay? I mean, he was a little jackass, but, I mean, Howl is not a peach himself, so, yeah.
I like him because you're a firecracker. Just admit it.
Sure, we'll go with that.
He's a pyromaniac, people. He likes to light things on fire.
And watch it burn.
Yeah, that too. But I think one thing I would take from Howl's Moving Castle, if you're not on the move like a migratory bird, then you're not worth watching. Because when you start moving, you start being slow and steady to the race is not worth. Ready and steady is not going to be the case for you.
Yeah, maybe you don't have an ego either.
If there's anything you'll take from that, is constantly be moving. Don't slow down. You have your energy set up of your wits about you if you don't stop moving. But that's all I gotta say.
All right.
So, the next one we want to actually look at is Spirited Away, with a huge emphasis on the fall setting. So, the best representation of fall is the color scheme. What is about the color scheme of Spirited Away that you like so much?
Well, I mean, it started off like there's a lot that's happening in Spirited Away. Uh-huh. It has the girl, and she's whisked into the spirit world, if I remember correctly. There's so many different people that she runs into, and there's all the different foods and all the craziness that's going on in the world. Because, and they have the, like, crazy little witch, and then there's, like, the no name or whatever, that spirit that we eat. Yeah, I don't know what the name is. I don't know what it's called or whatever. But, yeah, and eating all the stuff up and everything, and, you know, all the colors are great and everything. And then once the one witch, they find out, like, why she's there. She's, like, evil or whatever. They all start, like, all the creatures and people start freaking out and, like, getting scared away and stuff.
Yeah.
And so then it starts, instead of being all the different colors and everything, things start to get dark, more black, and people start acting a little crazy. They're afraid of I don't know what she is, but she's like the main witch or whatever. I think she's supposed to be like Baba Yaga, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And so when she shows up, then everyone's scared and they're not as, like, cheerful and stuff anymore.
True.
It's interesting how fall is really done to the imagery. We have deep reds, we have orange, we have golds. The beginning scene of setting up the amusement park is very pivotal to the rising action of the movie. Yes, it sets up the plot. We throw them back to pigs to get her parents back, not to only be pigs forever. There's so much time that she has to do it before she gets stuck in the spirit of women as a human. But with the inviting colors and the food stall, like you would see at a food festival.
Yeah.
The celebration of food. And it kind of does a reversal on that. Yes, it's a celebration of food, but it's humans eating the food turning into pigs, which is kind of funny. If humans would eat the food, they get punished. Because it's what we call, when the fall festivals come around, there is so much food and so much greed that we become all about the food. And it actually invokes fall imagery through that. It's interesting for the simple fact, yes, we have food. Yes, you had the food. But at the same time, it invokes, where did it come from? How much we eat, and what is the cost of us eating it? So it's very interesting to set that in the fall season, because we have the celebration of such food. How we like to eat it. Pumpkin spice, apple pie, cider, anything you name it, it's in the picture. This is the season where we have our gourds, our pumpkins, the apples coming to harvest. You know, we have different things that we want to celebrate into the actual season itself, because we're grateful for it. The festival brings out a gesture of bring togetherness and being around the table, that type of stuff. So yes, the fall harvest, growing certain crops that we like, is a fall favorite. But what if humanity did not have that as the reverse, and that's what Studio Ghibli does? So it's a really interesting reversal of food celebration in fall, but what is the price of food celebrating in fall in the first place? With that being said, we also have the coming of age, you know, letting go, growing up. This is huge because we see Chiro growing up as she's dealing with the struggle of her parents being the pigs. She has to work from the bottom to the top. Learn her way, how the bathhouse works. You know, she's in changing over time, just like the changing of leaves, like Studio Ghibli. she's literally changing herself, like fall is. We see her the more green, but then we see her at the end being more less leaves, more humble, more outstanding to what she represents. Thank you for what you got. You know, you don't always have it. You might not have it one day. That type of work. Working hard to achieve something more than you. Getting it to be delivered to you and actually have it as a medium to express chivalry, humbleness, and maybe working on personal skills like selfishness and perseverance through all the tough times. You want to find the courage to grow up. If you're not growing up, how can you change and represent fall as the change from fall to winter, which is the major seasonal shift when the brainrot life is slowing down to note bearing landscape, that type of stuff. So the coming of age and growing up is very deep with, you know, how autumn turns to winter setting. The abandoned amusement park is very distinct in the beginning because of the fact the landmark itself being an amusement park, the end of summer usually invokes fall temperatures, less temperature, not enough demand for entertainment that is fast paced, go here, go there, less time at home because now school's back in the season. It really is symbolic of why does the amusement park so pivotal? I think it's just because amusement parks in general are very seasonal objects. Fall brings out the seasonal side, like the Halloween, the Thanksgiving. The only thing you have certain things of the year, that's the invocation that comes from the setting in an amusement park. It's closed down, but it's also very convenient because it's no longer serving the greater public, but it serves as a gateway to hide the spirit realm and the human realm, because why would they mess with an amusement park to begin with if it's abandoned? You see what I'm talking about? It's barren, just like winter. So on the outside, it shouldn't have anyone coming in, but on the inside, it's so vibrant, it's so lively. There was so much going on that if a human were to stray into the food stalls, they won't be able to see it until they start eating. And then at that point, they're no longer able to experience the magical world that spiritual way is. And that's the entire point. You get isekai'd away into a spirit realm, taking over and having the huge fall metaphor being so abundant that it almost like strikes you in the face. Now, yeah, it's like summer and all this other stuff, but the season in which it takes place is not what we're discussing. This is the changing of leaves in Studio Ghibli. So that's pretty much a representation for changing of leaves. So I'm not necessarily worried about Spirited Away being too vital to the argument of setting of changing in fall, but I would say this. Just because something doesn't seem like it's on the surface does not mean it applies to the theme. The changing of age and growing in growth in itself is why fall is such a representative in Spirited Away. You know, the letting go of childhood, the transformation, the bitter sweet passage of time. As you age, what do you have waiting for you? As she ages, she's going through the struggle that if she stays too long, her parents stay there trapped forever. She won't get the opportunity to release them back to humans if she doesn't pass the test. It's basically, once you meet someone, you never really forget them. It's the memories return over during fall. And once you meet someone, you never forget them implies the biggest theme. You might have met someone long, long time ago, and then you all of a sudden think about them again. Fall will do that in a huge way that you're grateful for what you have. You might not necessarily see it the same way, but you're definitely more able to see how someone else is treating you, but maybe it's the other way around. it just goes to show you that fall is definitely one of those things that's very vibrant. So that is Spirited Away. We have the next one, which is My Neighbor Totoro. It's interesting because it dances through the seasons, but it's agricultural, forest, and earth tone palette feels very fall-like. So let's go back to agricultural. Fall is really known for the food it grows, right? Well, the fall harvest is hugely symbolic in My Neighbor Totoro. You know, it takes place in these settings that kind of feels like, huh, this is in the forest. You know, we should treasure what we have. What else can we actually be out there that can benefit us in the end? So it really goes to show you that fall, in some aspects, is neutral. Can the harvest and farming be one and the same when fall comes around? You know, your biggest harvest time is also your biggest ending time because the winter's coming around. So you really have to be careful in which, you know, the season changes. Are you ready to survive winter is the biggest question. Because if you're not ready to survive winter, there's no point to even be around. And that's what My Neighbor Totoro does. You know, it's very invoking the forest elements. The forest is vast. And you don't know who's next door to you. You could have the Yamas next door to you, or you have the Totoros. The Totoros are very, you know, spiritual in itself because there's all these creatures that are unexplained, but you don't know where they came from. But they're part of the forest dwelling right before the end of summer. Because, you know, this is also when you see different hunting seasons taking place. So it's interesting seeing how summer in the fall changes the landscape. Because spring is life. Summer is the continuation of life. Fall is, you know, usually when they get ready for winter. So, you know, that is the atmosphere that happens. You know, for example, in My Neighbor Totoro, we have the harvest or the mother's illness underscoring the fragile balance of life. So it's really interesting with the fragile balance of life because fall is so pivotal to falling of the leaves, to get ready for the cold, to really be invoking other seasonal changes. But it's a natural cycle in which nature undergoes to have the preparation for more. You know, that in between dead stage, right before spring hits for the new life to come. So fall is that transitional period in which it does that. So that's how it's the balance of life. It is the representation that you need to come to an end and you need to start anew. But you can't come to an end if you don't actually have the preparation to become full again in the spring and summer. You can also say that Totoro is like a guardian of natural cycles. And what I mean by this is that the rhythm of the seasons. Because Totoro is so symbolic in its representation. It's overseeing the forest. It's a forest deity, but it's emulating the different beginning of fall towards the end, like the school environment where My Neighbor Totoro is no longer summer, that type of stuff. But it's also getting to the nitty gritty of what is it truly like to have summer end but fall begin. So is it that we don't have access, we don't have the free time as much because now we have to get back to a normal school environment, kids go back to school, no more tourism, no more mass travel, more family events, more spending together instead of just spending time apart. No, you know, the leisure time is different. So yeah, the overseason, the rhythm of the seasons is definitely Totoro, I would say. And the visuals of My Neighbor Totoro is very striking because you have the bus, you have the animals going in, you know, the different creatures happening about, roaming the forest, being there, and really truly striking the invocation of fall. With the life being so apparent. But yeah, the magic in the everyday, you know, type of stuff. Every day counts. You don't know if the day is gonna not be what it is because now it's gonna be less of what the day was before. Because, you know, the changing of sunlight, the cold temperatures coming in, all of that. Change is part of life's rhythm. change is always going to happen. And my name of Chocho is always going to embody that change no matter what. Because as time progresses, we move on and things happen to be different. Family and connection, basically the same thing. What is your family? My neighbor Torture really explains, family is not in blood. Family is what you surround yourself with. My neighbor Torture does that really well. The connection to other people, the connection to nature, and the connection to animals is so symbolic that two different species can get along but cohabitate together. So that's kind of what Torture represents. The trees, the people, used to be good friends. You know, this is a quiet reminder of life disappearing but becoming less in the place in the national life cycle. So the trees and the people, they used to be good friends. But then why are they not good friends? Why is the case example in point the trees not being in favor of the few people? That is what My Neighbor Totoro explores. So that's My Neighbor Totoro, The Invocation of Fall, The Changing of Leaves in Studio Ghibli. The last one we're going to discuss is Only Yesterday. This is probably the most fall-like Ghibli film that I can actually set. Yeah, it's partly set in summer. It's so symbolic that it's warm colors. It represents the countryside. It goes into the reflective tone. It's perfect for fall. You look back, you're reevaluating life, deciding how to move forward. It's interesting to see the emotional equivalent of trees shedding leaves. So it actually has trees shedding leaves, which is the changing of leaves I want to capture in the fall season. Studio Ghibli does this so well because it invokes different actions and different meanings in the visual art, the simple, colorful landscape that it comes out with. So there's something inherently fall-like about the slow pace and the dialogue, because Only Yesterday happens in a specific way that slowly builds it up and actually moves the plot forward. And it being so interesting in its vacation of the inner dialogue gives us what really are we, you know? Speaks to what we could be, but what is that inner voice that we always have that could tell us to do more? Fall brings on that probably more than you think, for the simple fact that us as humans, we want to think more, but then we always think less. And then when we think more of the symbol, the season, the fall, the leaves. We think of people around us, spending time together, back to school. Like, there's all these different things that would happen that is in constant contrast into what fall is. But yeah, the most themes I would say in Only Yesterday is the nostalgic feeling, how, you know, just be in the moment, the memory, self-discovery through the past is huge, because it's using the past to justify the present, present to justify the future. So it's really symbolic in the changing of time in that way. The quiet acceptance of change. So you have to accept change before change can happen. If you don't accept it, then the change is less likely to take effect, to do greater effect for you. It would still happen, but the opportunity cost would be different how you handle it. But yeah, a really good quote for Only Yesterday is, "I really wonder if I've changed. It's a question of the heart of autumn's reflection. Who are we? What are we going to do? And why does this happen? And why do we spend time more with family on this time of year? You know, why do we have pumpkins growing in a pumpkin patch? Why do we have kids dressing up as Halloween costumes and goblins and ghouls? But what is the significance of it? Why do we think that the bad's going to enter the evil? You know, why do we have a food celebration in which we have too much food and they come together as family?" All of that is being spoken in if I really have changed, the quote from only yesterday. So you have to ask yourself, what is fall? How does fall represent you? I think this case study with Changing of Leaves and Studio Ghibli has been very pivotal in me, because now I'm looking at Studio Ghibli in a different lens. Different themes, different colors, different elements of fall that I didn't necessarily originally think. But looking into it, I see more now. What is fall to us is really the question. Can autumn come, and can we be ready for it before winter comes? Because if winter comes, it might come hard, and you don't prepare in fall time, it definitely will hit so much more than you ever would think. And fall is the classic example of how to prepare for it. That is truly the way to do it. So I would conclude this episode with the practice of time being the reflectiveness that we need to have within fall timeline. Studio Ghibli captures it through four movies: Spirited Away, Howl's Moving Castle, from a light setting to a dark setting, Spirited Away, from food being to greed, humans not going interacting with spirits, and spirits hiding in a barren landscape, but the inside is magical and isekai. And then you go into Only Yesterday being transition of fall, the slow passage of time, how things happen now. The past is pivotal, but the present is white now, and the future can be more. And My Neighbor Totoro, you know, the cycling of the gatekeeperness, the guardianship, overseeing the forest, the animal interaction with humans. Can the hunting season really truly impact, you know, the season itself? Can we prevent an overpopulation? You know, that type of stuff. Can humans and animals coexist together? Or does it have to be in constant preparation for the dead time coming up? But that's all I gotta say for this episode. I would thank Leslie for being here for the time that he was here. You know, the good introduction in the beginning was nice with Houses and Castle and Spirited Away. He did have some good impacts and things to discuss. So I would say this. Fall is a new beginning for those who want to awaken their inner self, and passage of time will allow it to do so. Thank you for being on this episode of The Changing of Leaves of Studio Ghibli. This is MC signing off. You guys have a nice time. Bye, guys.
This concludes another episode of MC Anime Podcast. MC Anime Podcast is available on podcast directories like Google Podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. We also have our website at mcanimepodcast.com. If you want to directly support us, then follow Patreon blog MC Anime. Finally, if you want services for hire, then we're available on Fiverr for audio and video production, graphic design, idea consulting, and blog and article writing.